Husker Doc Talk Podcast 2015, Episode 4. Greetings, Husker Nation. Welcome to another edition of the Husker Doc Talk Podcast presented by the Remington Trophy. I'm Travis Justice, the one you guys love to hate, the one you love to love, and the one you are here to listen to, former Husker All-American, 1994 Big 8 Athlete of the Year. Oh, and he's very smart. He's Dr. Rob Zavisco. What's up, my friend?
I love you, Travis.
I'm doing good.
I mean, somebody's got to love you.
No, nobody really likes me. It's been a long time since anybody in Husker Nation has really liked me. The only person that really likes me in Husker Nation are you and Dave Remington.
You know what, though? Remember when Bill Callahan was Nebraska's coach and everybody used to hate you, and then Bill Callahan showed up, and all of a sudden everybody kind of sat back, and for the first time since you hit the door in Nebraska from the great state of Iowa.
Actually, I came from Wisconsin. Now, I'm from Iowa, but I ventured here from Wisconsin.
And which is like, Wisconsin's like northern Iowa. It's like Iowa's.
No, because I lived in northern Wisconsin. I was in Wausau, and let me tell you, that was crap. That was absolute crap up there, and I never wished that on anybody, ever.
Cold?
It was very cold. I remember I worked for the ABC affiliate up there as the weekend anchor, and the first sporting event I had to cover was a ski jumping event on the 27th of December. And I'm like, you want me to go to a ski jumping event?
How do you cover ski jumping? Well, he's still in the air.
I have no idea. And these weren't Olympic ski jumpers. These were like the high school ski jumping event. So, you know, he would come off the ramp and he would just bottom out because they didn't know how to point their bodies in the right direction. And then it'd be like, well, after the ski jumping event, drive out on the lake and cover the ice fishing tournament. And, you know, having grown up in Western Iowa and then worked in Des Moines my first couple of jobs, all we covered was college sports, and ice fishing was never on the agenda.
Which, for as much as Nebraskans denigrate Iowa, you've got two Division I universities with some very good athletic programs
so
to cover.
When I arrived here in 1994, which would have been your senior season.
It's a good year.
I came in at the right time. I got to cover, you know, two straight national championships. Got to see the rise of a lot of things. Of course, the 97 team. Got the 99 team, which should have won a national championship. Then I got to see the downfall. But I was probably a little harsh, but once Steve Peterson came around and Bill Callahan came around, people came around to my way of thinking.
All of a sudden, Travis spoke the truth.
You know, I was having lunch with Dave Remington the other day, in which you were invited, but you blew us off.
You know, it's not often, but once in a while, I actually do have to show up and work.
And so we were having.
And I was disappointed because when you texted me to tell me you guys were leaving, I think I was maybe 20 minutes from walking.
Yeah, we ate a lot of food. Let's just put it that way. But Dave goes, hey, you know, what are you guys going to do different for the podcast this year? And I never had, you know, Dave's never questioned the podcast. He always has always said, good job. And he's happy with it. And I'm like, well, what do you mean do different? Do you want us to do something different? And he's like, I don't know. I'm like, well, we can try to do something different. We just like getting together, talking about Husker football and college football in general.
And beer.
But, you know, as we go along, we'll do a center spotlight. I can say we got to send a shout out to Dave because he was just named on the Football Writers Association 75th all team or whatever. He was a first team center because he's the best center ever to play college football.
Which actually Nebraska had two offensive linemen on that team. Dave Remington and Will Shields were both on that. I thought that was rather impressive that I think there were six Huskers.
Which was the most...
More than any other school all told. And that was a first, second, and they had a third team.
So, and when you have, you know, you look at Nebraska sellouts, you look at Nebraskans in the NFL, you look at Nebraskans on this anniversary team, that speaks volumes to the history of the program.
No, it is, and it's awfully impressive. Well, there's a very good reason that the trophy for the best center in college football is named after Remington.
Now, here's my big question, though. Does Dave Remington have his own Remington trophy?
You know, that's kind of a good question.
That is a good question.
Well, you think about the fact that the, oh boy, I'm going to screw this up, but the athletic association that administers the Outland Trophy, which is presented here in Omaha.
Yeah.
That they do a, I don't know, what do you want to call it, a retrospective trophy presentation.
Yeah,
so every year when they award the trophy, they pick somebody who, prior to there actually being an Outland Trophy, every year there was an Outland Award winner. They didn't necessarily get a trophy prior to, I couldn't give you a date, I'm kind of arbitrarily picking one, but prior to, say, 1977, there was not an actual trophy handed out. And so every year when they present the Outland Trophy here in Omaha, they always present one to one of the prior winners who never did receive the actual trophy. I don't think that that would be a bad idea. I mean, you look at the guys throughout history. I mean, you look at some of these guys like, well, I was going to say like Mark Stepnoski, but he was actually a guard in college at Pittsburgh prior to becoming an all-pro center in the NFL. But you guys like Dwight Stevenson. I mean, they're just all these guys I can think of in the NFL. You go back in time, Jim Otto. I mean, just some of these guys who are unbelievable centers from historical standpoint 20, 30, 70 years ago who never got recognized in such a sense. It would be a great way to do it. You know, I think we should put that out there. I think the Remington Trophy should award
Dave a trophy.
Yeah, I think they need to do it. I think they need to pick a guy every year and bring that guy to Omaha too, which when you think about the Remington Trophy event, we've talked about this before. It's an absolute who's who of college and NFL grades.
So on January 16th, 2016, at the Rococo Theater in Lincoln, we should do a Remington Trophy presentation for Dave Remington. Say, Dave, this trophy is named after you, so we think you should have your own.
I think he should be the inaugural recipient of the retrospective Remington Trophy.
Well, but they do that for the Gerald R. Ford Legends winner.
Which, I mean, if you've seen that award,
yes,
that is an impressive piece of hardware that they hand out.
And so is the Remington Trophy. But, you know, I've just never asked Dave, and I've sat down with him many times, do you have your own Remington Trophy? And maybe I'm going to have to. He's going to be back, I believe, in the late August on his way to Burning Man. Then he'll be back for the season opener. He's going to Burning Man in Nevada. Now, are you familiar with the Burning Man Festival? It's a freak show. Dave may not look like a guy that likes to get his freak on. Dave likes to get his freak on.
Well, I think he likes to get his freak on from a distance. But if you, here's the thing. I follow Dave on Instagram.
Yeah.
Which, I feel like I'm a 16-year-old girl, the fact that
well,
I'm
you look like
Instagram.
One.
I get that a lot. But if you go to Remington's Instagram account, he might be one of the more talented, I don't know if he sells his work, so I'll tentatively say amateur photographers, but he might be one of the most talented photographers I have ever met. I mean, his work is very impressive. So if you've got Instagram, do an Instagram search or hop on Facebook, look for Dave Remington on Facebook. He posts all of his photos, and it's just some of the most beautiful work you've ever seen. The photos that he puts out from Burning Man, I mean, it is impressive work. And, I mean, he does a good job. It's very artistic. He doesn't do anything too crazy. But it is very, very impressive work. And so follow Dave Remington on Instagram. You will see some impressive work when he goes to Burning Man later this month.
If you are following the Husker Doc Talk podcast on Podbean, thank you so much. If you found us through iTunes, I appreciate it. And of course, if you found us through HuskerMax.com, they do a great job of distributing the Husker Doc Talk podcast. Can't thank the guys at HuskerMax enough because without them, we wouldn't get as many listens. I'm pretty aware of that. You know, usually around this time, we are tweeting out pictures of you and me drinking some Benson Brewery beer. I screwed up tonight. I did not pick up a growler.
Sad.
There's been some construction
sad
going on in the Benson neighborhood. And
they had a bit of rain.
They've had a bit of rain. They've had some construction. So I didn't know if they were open tonight or not.
It's not a very good excuse, Travis.
I know. You're exactly right. I should have called Ryan and said, hey, I need a growler.
I'm
I didn't
disappointed.
Do it.
Disappointed.
But we can tell you.
I bet he would have come down and sat in with us and brought us a growler. He's that good of a guy.
And I can tell you that the Benson Brewery is at 6059 Maple. They have their own beer. They have an unbelievable chef, a great kitchen. If you're from Omaha, Omaha, you need to go to the Benson Brewery. If you are from out of town, when you make your trek to the Big O, whether that be for a weekend, for a stay, for a vacation, whatever, make sure to go to the Benson Brewery at 6059 Maple in the heart of Benson. Okay, we have now been doing this Husker Doc Talk podcast for over 10 minutes, and we have not really talked about any football whatsoever. And the big story this week has been DeMorne Pearson-L and his Jones fracture. Now, I'm not a doctor. I've never claimed to be a doctor. You are the doctor. What the hell is a Jones fracture?
Now, like I said, that was one report that I heard was a Jones fracture. Now, you said you've got you've looked it up and you've
yes, they are calling it in tonight's
which I think I told you. I said if I had to speculate, I'm kind of proud of myself that I actually speculated if I was going to guess what kind of fracture.
Directly from the Omaha World Herald on Wednesday. University of Nebraska statement said that Pearson-L would be out 6 to 8 weeks following surgery for a Jones fracture in his right foot. So, you know, when I was growing up, if you broke your foot, you just said you broke your foot.
Well, he broke his Jones.
He broke his Jones. Now, that sounds like he got hit in the nuts.
No, that would be your cojones, Travis.
So what is a – explain to the layman out there that's going – that you know, there's a lot of people go, well, he's walking the coffee shop. Well, he had that Jones fracture.
And I'd be
one of these guys go, huh?
So here we go. So the long bones of the foot. So if you imagine, if you look at the bones that make up the length of the foot, the corollary to it would be if you look at the bone, the long bones that make up the palm of your hand.
So are we talking like, okay, just for those? So something that goes from like your ankle to your toe. Is that the long bone of the foot?
Exactly.
Okay.
And it's,
that's all you
got
to say.
So you've got your ankle bones, you got your toe bones, you got the long bones in between.
And those are the Jones bones.
You got them in your foot, you got them in your hand. Well, technically in your foot they're known as the metatarsals.
Okay. Then where does the term Jones fracture come from?
Jones was a surgeon at the turn of the last century.
Mm. Did they teach that in medical school?
An anatomy professor, Dr. Stinson, wonderful gentleman, and he always said that if you get asked, if some physician that you're working under always says, well, who would, Dr. Zadiska, you got to tell me, who was Jones? Who's Dr. Jones? He said, you'd
Dr.
Always,
Jones!
He,
Dr. Jones!
He said the...
Indiana!
That would be a Temple of Doom reference right there.
Sorry.
Ten points if you can give me the...
There's some diehard Husker fans going,
if you can give me the name of the character who said it.
I forget the kid's name.
Oh, what was it? Short?
Shorty? Did they call him Shorty?
Short Circuit, something
I don't
like
know.
That. The kid was annoying as all get out, though, I'll say that. Anyway, it's the long bone between the ankle bones and the toes. A Jones fracture would be a fracture of your fifth metatarsal, or... it would be the long bone leading up to your small toe.
He played short round.
Short round.
Short round.
It was short something. Anyway, so the magic of Google. Anyway, but it's a fracture of that small bone along the outside of your foot. That basically, it between your ankle and your little toe, it's the long bone on the outside of the foot. You know, and that's the thing. I mean, you see, it's not an overly uncommon injury. Oftentimes you see it start out as a stress fracture, and that's usually where it comes from. I hate calling it a wear and tear injury, but it's something that oftentimes starts as a stress fracture, hurts like heck. You to get an x-ray. Well, if it's a stress fracture, oftentimes those don't always show up right away on an x-ray. People keep playing with them, just figure it's some type of little ligament tear, ligament strain. And sooner or later, that stress fracture turns into a full-blown fracture, that bone breaks. And oftentimes they'll go in, and I got to double-check. I thought I had read that they did go ahead and do surgery [S2] Yep. [S1] On it. It's usually a fairly simple procedure where essentially to ensure that bone heals where they go to heals well, they make a small incision, go in and basically pin the two bones back together. They put a little one or two small screws in there to bring the two bones back together, okay, just to ensure.
Let me ask you specifics then, because, okay, it's a fractured foot. We get that. But is this one of those injuries that can be nagging? Because originally they said 6 to 8 weeks, and then Mike Riley kind of backtracked on Thursday, saying, well, we just hope to have him back before the end of the year.
He kind of threw the we'll see card in there. Boy, I got to be honest with you. It's hard to tell, and I would actually have to defer to some of the orthopods I know on this one. Theoretically, I mean, if you talk to most people, the conventional wisdom is always that a fracture tends to heal better and tends to heal quicker than ligament injuries. Bones tend to just have very good blood supply to them. Ligaments and tendons don't. And so compared to, say, some of these other injuries where you see turf toe, sports hernias, anything that involves soft tissue, that especially when it's ligaments or tendons, it just doesn't have a very good blood supply. They do tend to heal earlier. I mean, it's kind of the old adage that somebody gets a really, really bad ankle sprain and their doctor tells them, you know what, it would have been better if you'd broke it as opposed to spraining it. There's a degree of truth to that just because bones do tend to heal quicker. The problem is that when you look at a guy like Pierre Sunil, whose entire game is based on just an almost unworldly degree of speed and agility, the guy's got a first step like nobody has I've ever seen. And as opposed to a guy like Taylor Martinez, who was a 60-meter dash guy. He was a track star. Pierre Sunil's got the straightaway speed. He's got the side-to-side. He's got the juke moves. He's got the hips. Those are the guys who really, really rely basically on that ability to plant their foot and change direction. Something like this could really hamper that. And that's the thing you worry about, is if you do put a guy like this back out there too early, what are the risks of it going to be? Now, I've had a stress fracture in my foot. I had it in a Jones fracture, would be your fifth metatarsal. Mine, I can't remember. It's the second or third metatarsal. It was something that I played with, something I put up with. I had to take some time off. I think I went probably a couple of weeks where I practiced very sparingly, still played in games.
Really?
And it healed. Now, but it never...
Is that just because you're a tough son of a bitch?
We were not allowed to suffer injuries back when I played.
And you walk 3 miles to school in the snow.
Both ways.
With Wonder Bread sacks over your feet.
That we did do. That's how you got your foot into the boot easy. You can't tell me you didn't do that.
We did.
You can't tell me your mom didn't put the bread sack around your foot. Anyway,
the bread sack around my foot into those black boots that were super thin that had the metal. The
metal latch buckles on the front. Had them. Everybody your age did. There's a little bit of truth to the fact when I say we weren't allowed to get injured. I remember, I could even tell you, 1993, Kansas in Lawrence. Had a severe ankle injury. We taped it. And this is at my insistence. The doctors were telling me you can't go. So this is not the doctors and the coaches and the trainers shooting me up and sending me out. This is me telling them, listen, here's what's going to happen. You're going to do it. We taped up the ankle. I put my football shoes on, and then they casted it. They literally put a fiberglass cast on around the ankle, and that was something you just did at that era. So 25 years ago, don't know if you'd do that today. But here's the thing with a fracture like that, though. When I had my stress fracture in that metatarsal, mine never broke all the way through. There remained a stress fracture. Okay. Basically, it was a nice crack in the bone, but it had never fractured all the way through the bone. Hurts like heck. Functionally, it still works. It just hurts. You gave it a few weeks of trying to take as much time off as I could. Very minimal practice. Still played in games. And it healed up over about 2 to 3 weeks. Now, this is different. This is where it's broken all the way through. They had to go in, bring those bones together, pin them back together surgically. Theoretically, this should heal very, very well. Once it's done and healed, he will be 100%. It's not one of those things. Once it heals, it's done.
You're so you want to make sure you stay off it until it is healed. I mean,
and that's the thing. I'm betting we don't see, you will not see Pierre Sunil out there for 6 weeks minimum. But it's one of those things. If it's healed, if they take a look at an X-ray, they get some nice pictures of it, they're able to tell, okay, this thing is in fact healed. Once it's healed, it's going to be good as new.
So is he the type of player that no matter where you're at in the season, you get him on the field and you don't even consider redshirting? So if you're in week 8, week 9, do you bring him back, or is he the type of player you redshirt?
Now, if you're that late in the season, I think you redshirt the guy. You save a year. I don't think it's worth it, because if you're in week 9, you got 3 weeks left. It's not worth it. If he comes now, if it's one of these things, they're talking about, okay, 5-6 weeks if we're really, really lucky. Well, that puts you at the start of the conference season, essentially. And in this era where you got 8-9 conference games, that's one of those, you put them out there. But it's different if it's, if you got 3-4 weeks left in the season. I just don't think it's worth it to burn a year for only 4 games or so, plus a bowl game maybe. It's just because it's one of those things. Now, if Nebraska's having just this kick-ass season, and all of a sudden it looks like, holy crap, we got a shot to contend for the North Division title. If we finish out the season, we knock off Michigan State, all of a sudden we got a chance to contend for the division title. But to do so, I mean, if Nebraska's got a shot where they win the division with 4 games left in the year and they got to win those 4 games, okay, you know, I get it. You bring a guy like that back. He's a game changer. And in an offense like you're expecting Rylane Langsdorf to put together, this is a guy. I mean, imagine, who's it, Jaquez Rogers? I'm probably screwing up that first name, but you think about those guys that Riley had up at Oregon State who could run that toss sweep, the punt returners, those guys who could run those jet sweeps. That's a guy like Pierre Sunil. I mean, he was built for what Riley was doing up at Oregon State. And if they're going to do that kind of stuff in Lincoln, the guy like Pierre Sunil is absolutely just tailor-made for that.
So in the special teams department, Jordan Westerkamp now moves to your number one punt returner.
And he's done that before, and I think he's a very good punt returner. The guy has absolutely no fear, which Pierre Sunil did neither, and that's what Nebraska lacked prior to the last couple of seasons. I mean, usually you had a guy who's going to stand back there, fair catch it 9 times out of 10, and hope to God they didn't get clobbered. Pierre Sunil was the guy who was absolutely convinced, and I know Ron Brown enough that I've hung out and talked with Ron Brown prior to him joining Turner Gill at Liberty, that Ron Brown said that Pierre Sunil was one of these guys who was absolutely convinced every time he touched the ball, he was shocked if he didn't score a touchdown. Now, I know he didn't score every time he touched it, but Ron Brown said Pierre Sunil was just absolutely befuddled if he didn't score a touchdown every time he touched the ball. And that's the kind of guy you want, who's sitting back there thinking, hey, I get the ball, I'm going all the way, I'm taking it to the house, we're going yard every time the ball's in my hands. And you want that in a punt returner. And Nebraska went a decade without that kind of mentality. It was probably like DeJuan Gross or one of those guys prior to having Pierre Sunil and Westerkamp. And Westerkamp kind of has that same mentality. Now, don't get me wrong. Westerkamp is an incredibly talented guy. He is a far better wide receiver, kick returner, punt returner than I shall ever be in my life.
No, really?
I've got one thing Pierre Sunil and Westerkamp don't have.
What's that?
I have kick return yardage in the NFL.
You do?
Not a lot.
When did that happen?
But I do.
Come on, you should remember this.
It would have been either 95 or 96. It was against Philadelphia Eagles in Philly, the old Veterans Stadium. Thank God they dynamited that place. Anyway, but Westerkamp's pretty darn talented.
Go back to when you had kick return yard. Was it a squib kick?
It was a total squib kick. I was one of the wedge blockers. Wasn't even supposed to touch the ball, except it took an odd bounce that I was not expecting and hoping it wouldn't do, and it smacked me right in the chest.
And instead of falling down, you just went ahead and started running?
for a blazing 5 yards.
Yeah, a boy. That a boy.
And then the 260-pound NFL linebackers that comprised the kick coverage team all converged on me at very rapid pace, and that did not feel very good. You know what? If you go and you know what, go to Borders, go to Barnes and Noble, you can find the I don't know the title of it. It basically is the NFL Encyclopedia of Statistics. You can pull that up, look me up by name, and there I am. And you'll see rushing attempt 0, rushing yard 0, receiving attempt 0, receiving yard 0, kick return yard or kick returns 1, return yards 5. I've got stats, baby, stats.
Attaboy, attaboy.
Anyway, but I think Westerkamp would be a guy who can step into this role. And you know what? He's going to be fine. And part of the reason I like Westerkamp is I don't think he's going to catch the ball and fair catch it every time. I think he's going to catch it, and he and his mustache are going to charge up field. And I think he's going to be thinking like Pearsonell. I can catch anything, and I'm going to score every time I touch the ball. And he's one of those guys who's made some amazing plays. Here's the thing with Westerkamp. Now, darn it, God bless Matt Davison and for what he did for his time in Lincoln. But Westerkamp pulls a Davison type of play about 3 times a season, for God's sakes, every season. Now, I like Matt. Matt was a phenomenal athlete. Anybody who could finish up his college football career and then say to himself, yeah, maybe I'll just go play a season or two of basketball on top of it. Pretty darn good athlete. But Westerkamp has 2 or 3 of those, I can't believe the guy just did that, SB-esque kind of plays, and he does it 2 or 3 times a season. You know, probably the bigger issue when you look at this injury to Pearsonell is kind of what it does to the overall depth. And you look at the wide receiver position, and it's something where, I mean, you got a handful of guys here when you look at Brandon Riley and Tariq Allen and Sam Burch who have all been battling injuries here in fall camp. And, I mean, you look at a guy like Sam Burch who, unfortunately, it seemed like the poor guy's been battling injuries most of his career. But you got a guy who had a really nice bowl game, came out and showed that when he's healthy, he's capable of making plays and being more than just a mere contributor. This is a guy who could be a playmaker. You've got all of these injuries, so you've got a number of guys that Nebraska's going to need to – they're going to need to step up. But at the same time, too, I mean, somebody made the point, and I can't tell you who it was, but, I mean, one of the local sports writers made the point. There's a very good reason – that when you look at these guys, there's a special teams coach. There's 100-plus guys on the roster. There's a reason for that. These guys get hurt. I mean, guys get injured. Guys transfer. Guys leave. I mean, new recruits come in. I mean, I got asked on Twitter this past week if somebody like Matt Schneider is going to step up.
And I was just going to bring that up because if you're not following Doc Talk Sports on Twitter, you need to at Doc Talk Sports. And earlier in the week, Rob runs 99% of the tweets. I have access to the account. And I just said, hey, we're going to be recording on Thursday.
Travis puts pictures of us drinking beer.
Yeah, I put pictures
account.
Of us drinking, and I also post pictures. If you got questions for Dr. Rob, let us know. And one of the guys want to know, does a guy like Matt Schneider, who's a 6'5", 245-pound freshman tight end.
Well, in high school, he was 6'5", 245. Yeah. Hopefully, he's about 255 now, maybe.
But can he figure into the mix?
You know, I think he could. I mean, the guy could be tremendously talented. The thing I like about him, or the thing that makes me optimistic about him, is this is a guy that Riley really wanted. This is a guy that Riley honed in on and wanted to make sure he signed coming in as a new coach. I don't know how hard this guy had been or how much he'd been targeted by Pelini's staff, but Riley came in, made him a priority, and got him to come to Nebraska. And I think that says something about the guy in terms of what Riley wants to do with him, at least for the long term. But obviously, when you look at him, he's got the physical tools. You go back a few years, well, it's more than a few years ago. You're looking at a decade plus ago. But you look at somebody, say, like Matt Herrien, who is another young tight end who did prior to a horrific leg fracture.
And a bad surgery to follow.
Yeah, that'll probably come up in discussion.
Can we ever say that? You know, I know we were sworn to secrecy on that. Can we say that? It was a bad surgery after he got hurt?
Yeah, I don't think that went so well.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I don't think that.
I think they had to do another surgery, right?
That was a couple more.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they let the same guy operate.
Yeah, probably ruined an NFL career, maybe. Just maybe.
There is a possibility. But there's a guy who...
Stuff you find out 15 years later, folks.
Yeah, it is. Here's a guy who did 90% of his work as a freshman and sophomore.
Yeah.
And so you can't sit there and say, well... God, you know what? Schneider's only going to be a true freshman. Well, you know what? Matt Herrien did a lot of damage to a lot of teams as a freshman. So if this guy has the hands and he has the speed, and if he can get Tommy Armstrong's confidence, coaching staff's confidence, put him out there and let's see what he can do. You know what? We've heard the commentary in Mike Riley's recruiting. Let's take one of his first big recruiting wins and let's see what this kid can do. Now, granted, he's a tight end and not a wide receiver. If you got Seathan Carter out there, and I mean, you know, Carter, I think, is finally healthy, and he's a guy who I think could be just an absolute star in college football if he can stay healthy. I mean, from a having physical tool standpoint, I think he's the guy everybody's been sitting around waiting to see if he finally gets healthy. But you know, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I think Nebraska has tools. I don't think the cupboard was remotely bare at all. You lost Amir Abdullah, but I think you've got just a slew of guys on the offensive side of the ball who can step up and make plays, and they can do it at multiple positions. And I think that's the strength of Mike Riley's offense.
And, of course, we're going to have a couple more weeks to talk about that before the season kicks off. Dr. Robin, I had plans to maybe get to the East Division tonight, but Rob, we've already gone 30 minutes.
Stuff keeps coming up.
And I know what doctors charge per half hour, and
beer,
I can't...
Beer and Pearsonell keeps popping up.
And I can't afford you much past 32 and a half minutes. You're out of my price range because you're making a house call, and that never happens in today's doctor world.
Beer. Pay with beer.
He's Dr. Rob Zadiska. I'm Travis Justice. Make sure to patronize the wonderful people at the Benson Brewery in the heart of Benson. We want to thank HuskerMax.com because when you need Husker news, Husker Max is there with it first. HuskerMax.com. And this podcast is presented by the Remington Trophy. Don't forget, January 16th, Rococo Theater, Lincoln, Nebraska. It is the Remington Trophy presentation and a proud sponsor and presenter of the Husker Doc Talk podcast. For Dr. Rob Zadiska, I'm Travis Justice. We'll talk to you next week on the Husker Doc Talk podcast.